This is On the Tee, brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Ready to drink, ready to go. Now here's your host, Anita Marks, on 98.7 ESPN.
Not Anita this week. I hope she's on the tee somewhere. It's a gorgeous Sunday morning. Pat O'Keefe with you for the next hour, next 4 hours, in fact, next 60 minutes, though plenty of golf to get to. It is an absolutely gorgeous Sunday morning in New York City. Hopefully many of you are tuning in on your way to the golf course, perhaps even on the way home from the golf course after getting in a quick 9 or 18 on this early Sunday morning, because it is, well, at least outside my window, perfect conditions out there as we are 1 week from Father's Day. And that means, of course, we are about to enter U.S. Open Week, one of the best weeks of the year for golf fans. And here we are, and it's funny because I'm looking ahead to next week's U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, and it's 2021. And two golfers come to mind for me as I think about this year's U.S. Open. And would you believe it, in the year 2021, the two golfers who come to mind for me are Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods. Now, Phil Mickelson, of course, has a long, complicated, oftentimes tortured history at the U.S. Open. It's the one major he hasn't won, but it's arguably the one in which he has played the most consistently well, at least during the prime of his career, because there was a time Phil Mickelson was knocking on the door in the U.S. Open every single year. And we know the history, those of us who have followed along his career and followed along the recent history of the U.S. Open. Some brutal finishes and results for Phil Mickelson as he has chased throughout his career that so far elusive U.S. Open championship. Six runner-up finishes, six times finishing in second place in the U.S. Open. And that's how close he is to a career Grand Slam. And of course, Phil Mickelson, very relevant now, because he is the reigning champ in the PGA Championship, having won that last month at the age of 51. But I got thinking about Phil Mickelson's history at the U.S. Open. He's going to go down as one of the all-time greats, mostly for what he has done on the course. But then you add into it the personality, the flair, the popularity among the fans. I mean, Phil Mickelson's legacy is pretty well set. The PGA Championship last month was, in many ways, icing on the cake. This, though, would take him to another level. Because the only thing missing in Phil's career is that which I think he has wanted the most. And that is a U.S. Open Championship. Six times a runner-up, and if you go through some of them, I mean, he was on the doorstep of history time and time again. I mean, the first time in 1999, he was 29 years old. He's playing the tournament with his caddy with a beeper because his wife was about to give birth and he was ready to jump off the course and go home for the birth of his child at any moment. And it was in 1999, and that's how long ago it was. The caddy had a beeper, and that was a big deal back then. I don't know how many of you listening even know what a beeper is. I had one in high school. I thought it was pretty cool. But that 1999 U.S. Open at Pinehurst was punctuated by Payne Stewart's clutch putt to win it, and the ensuing fist pump, which is immortalized in a statue at Pinehurst number 2. And then, of course, Payne Stewart died tragically a short time later in a plane crash. That's what the focus is regarding the 1999 U.S. Open. But it was Phil Mickelson who was on the other end of that Payne Stewart putt and the ensuing fist pump. How about Shinnecock Hills in 2004? Phil Mickelson's on the 17th tee on Sunday with a lead. Comes up with a double bogey 5 on a par 3 17th hole at Shinnecock Hills, and he loses to Retief Goosen by 2. 2006 at Wingfoot. This was the worst. I mean, this one, I still cringe when I think of this one. Because you got to remember the context of the 2006 U.S. Open. Phil had won the 05 PGA Championship, the 06 Masters, and he was dominating the 06 U.S. Open. He was on the verge. He was one hole away from taking the mantle from Tiger Woods as the greatest golfer in the world. He was on the verge of winning a third straight major. Remember, it took him forever to win his first major. He finally did that in 2004 at the Masters. And then the floodgates opened. Followed that up with the 05 PGA, the 06 Masters. Remember that time where Phil would win in 04, Tiger in 05, Phil in 06, and every year they would trade the green jacket back and forth. I mean, that was incredible stuff. And Phil was on the verge in that 06 Open, right in our backyard at Wingfoot, of becoming the best golfer in the world. And he steps up to the 18th tee. All he needs to do is par to win. And he takes out the driver. He drives his ball into the food tent that was alongside the 18th fairway, or maybe it was a merchandise tent. Then he hit a tree, and then he hit a bunker. And next thing you know, he's finishing up a double bogey six, and he finishes in a three-way tie for second place as Jeff Ogilvie won the 2006 U.S. Open. And afterwards, I mean, just, he was stunned. It was one of the most memorable press conferences of self-admission of defeat for an athlete, especially a great athlete, that I've ever seen. I mean, he actually says, "I'm such an idiot. I can't believe I did that." And even now, 15 years later, I still get chills thinking about that because he literally threw away the U.S. Open on the 18th tee. More heartbreak in 2013 in Marion. He leads after the first round. He leads after the second round. He leads after the third round. He was the only player in the field under par through 54 holes. In the final round, he bogeys 13, he bogeys 15, he bogeys 18, he shot a 74, Justin Rose shot a 70, and ends up winning by two. So not only runner-up finishes, but brutal runner-up finishes in which he had the championship in his grasp time and time again. He also finished second at Bethpage Black twice to Tiger in 2002, and that was right in the middle of the height of Tiger's powers. He also finished second to Lucas Glover in 2009, also at Bethpage Black. So as you look ahead to this weekend at Torrey Pines, Phil Mickelson rejuvenated once again with the career Grand Slam still in sight. I mean, who's going to write off the guy that just won the previous major? And then you, of course, add in the fact that it's at Torrey Pines in his hometown of San Diego. All eyes this weekend for the U.S. Open will be on Phil Mickelson. And when you say when you hear Torrey Pines, you can't help but think about, for me, one of the most memorable sporting events I ever witnessed. And it's hard to believe it was 13 years ago, and this is the first time the U.S. Open is returning to Torrey Pines since one of the most famous major finishes in golf history. And that, of course, was the playoff round in 2008 between Tiger Woods and Rocco Mediate. And it's rare that you get a sporting event, and I remember this day so well, even though it was 13 years ago. It's rare you get a sporting event when you're at work in the middle of normal business hours that captivates the entire office. Everything shuts down. You know, once in a while you'll get it in the NCAA tournament. Every 4 years, maybe a World Cup soccer game will have everything screeched to a halt. But this was one of those days where everybody in my office, whether they were sports fans, whether they were golf fans, or whether they had no interest at all, everybody, of course, knew Tiger Woods, and everybody was captivated by this playoff round between Tiger Woods and Rocco Mediate. Mediate in the clubhouse on Sunday with a one-shot lead. Tiger had to scramble on 18 and hit a 12-foot putt to force the playoff. And I just remember Rocco in the clubhouse saying, "I knew it. I knew it. I knew he was going to make that." He was that close to winning the U.S. Open. And that, of course, forces an 18-hole playoff the next day on Monday, during which Tiger built a three-shot lead. And then Rocco Mediate battled back, and they had to go to a sudden death playoff in the playoff, in which Tiger finally won on the first sudden death playoff hole. As if that wasn't enough drama, those of us watching that final round, every time Tiger's in and out of a bunker, he's using his club like a cane. Why? Well, because he was in extreme pain the entire round, playing with a double stress fracture of his left tibia. After winning the U.S. Open, Tiger would have surgery to repair his ACL, and that was his last tournament of 2008. One of, probably, I mean, there's the 97 Masters. When you think of most memorable performances of Tiger's career, there's the 97 Masters, of course, his first major where he just blew away the field. There was the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach where he won by 15 strokes. And there was the 2008 U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. I mean, this is one of the legendary sports careers that we have ever seen, that we have ever witnessed. And one of his top three moments occurred at Torrey Pines. And it's just interesting to watch because the careers of Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson have been intertwined so much over the last two decades. And here, as we get set for the U.S. Open in 2021 at Torrey Pines, it's Phil Mickelson looking for the career Grand Slam, coming off a PGA Championship victory. And then, of course, there's Tiger Woods, who won't be at the site of one of his most memorable performances as he continues to recover from the major leg surgery that he went through after his near-fatal car crash in February. So U.S. Open week is upon us, all eyes on Phil Mickelson, but you can't help but remember and think back to the greatness and the grittiness of Tiger Woods 13 years ago at Torrey Pines.
On the Tee with Anita Marks. Brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Ready to drink, ready to go. On 98.7 ESPN.
U.S. Open week around the corner at Torrey Pines. First time since 2008. Good time to talk to one of our regulars, John Mascari, the director of golf at Alpine Country Club, joining us on this beautiful Sunday morning. John, how you doing today?
Good morning, Pat. It certainly is a beautiful Sunday morning. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Perfect conditions out there. Good time to look ahead to the U.S. Open. And, you know, wouldn't you know it, all these years later, John, it's not, you know, one of these young up-and-comers who are top of mind as we look ahead to the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. Once again, as has happened so many times before, it's Phil Mickelson. And not only the fact that, of course, it is the U.S. Open, and I just detailed his long and tortured history in this event, but coming off what he did last month at the PGA Championship, after so many near misses, can Phil continue his magic from last month's PGA Championship?
Well, if you talk to Phil, he certainly can. Obviously beaming with confidence right now after the PGA, coming back to a course where he knows real well, and still kind of a long shot. And I think he likes that. I think he likes that he's, you know, the feel-good story. Everyone's rooting for him, as is always the case with Phil at the U.S. Open, because he needs that one final major to finish off the Grand Slam. But he's playing just as good as anyone else in the field right now. And, you know, a little bit of a shakeup after the PGA with a missed cut, but I think that comes to be expected. He was kind of on a big high, and I think he's just all focus has turned to Torrey Pines, and it's not like he can't keep up with them off the tee. Phil's going to be in contention, if you ask me.
How does his game, you know, at the age of 51, how has he tweaked his game to the point where he's still in this position to be a contender at an event like this?
Well, you know, if you follow golf, you know that Phil has had a transformation physically with losing weight, getting in great shape. You know, he's doing his big his coffee drink where he, you know, he's created his own brand for that. But for Phil, it's just a matter of being long off the tee. I mean, he was hitting it past Koepka, and if you remember, in the PGA, and he's one of the longest players on tour. And Phil is still, it still is, and will always be fantastic around the green. So, you know, it's not like he's lost a step off the tee. Still creative, still a great putter, still great with the wedge. He can hang with the young guys.
No, it's interesting, and you mentioned he is still a long shot, and he absolutely is, which I think adds even more intrigue to next week's tournament. One guy not a long shot is Dustin Johnson. And, you know, he's been struggling, obviously missing the cut at the PGA, missing the cut at the Masters. But this week, a good bounce back. I know he had a less than desirable round three at the Palmetto Championship, but overall, a good bounce back for Dustin Johnson heading into next week's U.S. Open.
Yeah, if you watch him, it's like you don't know what you're getting with DJ right now. He's not playing his best golf at the Palmetto, but he's still in it, you know, and he's I think he's six shots off the lead, but I'm gaining a little more confidence watching him play this weekend. He's someone who needs momentum. He's like a freight train. Once he gets going, he's very difficult to stop. So watch out. If he gets some more confidence this week, I think he'll be looking real good coming into the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines next weekend. But this is a big tournament for him just from a mental perspective, to feel like he's at the top of the leaderboard, gain the confidence, gain that momentum coming into California. And the world's number one player, if he gets a little bit of confidence and he starts hitting it well and starts putting it better, I think he could be in contention at Torrey Pines as well.
It's on the tee with Anita Marks, Pat
right,
O'Keefe. Sorry, go ahead, John.
It's been a real tough year for DJ with all the miscuts and ups and downs, but let's try to right the ship at Torrey Pines.
It's still number one in the world, though, despite that. And like we mentioned, a bounce back. He's third on the leaderboard right now at the Palmetto. John Mascari, the director of golf at Alpine Country Club, joining Pat O'Keefe. I'm in for Anita on this Sunday morning. How about the defending champ in the U.S. Open, John? Bryson DeChambeau obviously won it last year at Wingfoot. But for him, one top 10 finish in his last six starts, and I think it was a ninth place finish. Can he get his game back on track for next week's tournament?
You want to talk about ebbs and flows of a season. Two wins this year, but then miscuts all over the place. And if you were to ask me this one tournament that he should always be a contender for, it's going to be the U.S. Open. So the way they set up the golf course, long, really thick rough, the fact that he hits it such a long way gives him a huge advantage at U.S. Open courses and U.S. Open setups. Even if he doesn't drive it too well, coming out of the rough with a sand wedge or a pitching wedge is a lot easier than coming out of the rough with a 7 or 8 iron. So he has an advantage over the field in that way. I think he's going to play well at Torrey Pines. I think he's kind of circled this on his calendar. He's the defending champ. He doesn't want to give up that trophy, especially that all that's going on between him and Brooks Koepka. I think look out for a good performance from Bryson coming up at in California.
You know, it's funny, Koepka said this week that he thinks the feud between the two of them is good for golf. I mean, what do you make of the feud between the two of them? Do you care at all? Is it interesting? What do you think about that?
It gives me a chuckle every now and then. I'm not, waking up and going on Twitter and checking on what's going on, but I think it's fun. I mean, they don't like each other, so let's be honest. But is it good for golf? Sure, I guess. It's not bad for golf, but people talking about golf is good for golf. And I think it might be blown out of proportion a little bit here and there, but we shall see. What if they're paired together?
That would be great. Let's talk about Koepka. From 2017 to 19, over a 9-major stretch, he had as dominant a run as anybody. He won 4 times. He finished second at the Masters another time. Obviously, he nearly won the PGA last month. How far away is he to getting back to where he was a year or two ago?
He's pretty close. He missed the cut this week, unfortunately. But if you look at Koepka, you think, is he going to be ready for the U.S. Open? He missed the cut. I kind of think that plays into his mentality. He likes that little bit of time off, and he's preparing for Torrey Pines. Remember, he missed the cut at the Byron Nelson and then finished second at the PGA. So the little time off, I think his body is starting to really heal. I don't think he's 100%, but Brooks Koepka at 90% is better than a lot of people at 100%. So it should be interesting to just watch him. This is a tournament that he thrives at as well. I think the added taking the trophy away from Bryson possibly is some motivation. But I think he's really close. What a great ball striker, and I think we saw that at the PGA as well.
Chatting with John Mascari, the director of golf at Alpine Country Club. It's on the tee with Anita Marks. Pat O'Keefe in for Anita today. The John Rahm saga. Now, good news. He tweeted out that he's out of quarantine, able to travel to San Diego for the U.S. Open. I mean, you couldn't help but feel for the guy last week when he's leading by 6 strokes in the third round of the Memorial before testing positive for COVID-19. Now, he's got a good history at Torrey Pines. He's won there. I think his first PGA Tour victory came there in 2017. For what it's worth, he proposed to his wife at Torrey Pines in 2018. Obviously, was playing well before he was shut down last week. How much of a factor can John Rahm be?
Oh, my God. You want to talk about unfinished business. I think this guy's going to come out with a ball of fire. Having kind of a, I don't want to say under the radar, but a sneaky, really good year this year. He's finished in the top 10, 10 of his last 17 tournaments. Think about that. So he's been on fire. He's been scorching. I think the play at the Memorial is what we're going to see with him. I think the fact that it all went down in the way that it did is he feels like he's got a, I don't want to say an axe to grind, but he has a certain elevated fire in his belly to perform well. And the guy's the number third ranked player in the world. It's not like he's coming out of nowhere. But to your point, he does have a good history there, and I love, love, love his chances at Torrey Pines. He's having just an unbelievable season.
Yeah, his first PGA Tour victory did come there at the Farmers Insurance Open back in 2017. Anybody we haven't mentioned, a Rory McIlroy, Spieth, you know, anybody else who you've got your eye on heading into this week's U.S. Open?
Well, you look, you know, you look at the odds, and Rahm is 10-1, and then there's four or five guys at 14-1. There's a few guys at 18-1. I love Victor Hovland at 25-1 coming in. I think he's been playing some great golf. Tyrrell Hatton at 40-1, if you're looking for a long shot, has been firing on all cylinders, especially this weekend. But, you know, I'm really leaning towards someone like JT or Colin Morikawa. At 18-1, I think he's kind of just far enough back where he's not getting that much attention, but been playing great even after the playoff win at the the second place finish at the Memorial. It's going to be a great tournament. I can't wait for Father's Day weekend.
No, it's great every time this year. Let me get you out of here on this, John. I mean, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask your memories from the last time the U.S. Open was at Torrey Pines. I was going through it earlier in the show. For me, one of the most memorable sporting events I've ever watched. It was one of those events that captivated sports fans, golf fans, and people who aren't interested in sports or golf. Tiger Woods and Rocco Mediate going at it in that playoff round back in 2008. What are your memories from that day?
What I remember was no matter how hard Rocco tried, he just couldn't keep it. It was like he was laughing for the round. Like, are you kidding me with this guy? And, you know, we were blessed and we were lucky to see Tiger in his prime in that tournament and just doing the unthinkable, playing well, you know, the playoff. And Rocco just felt like, I'm just happy to be here. You know what I mean? It was really cool, and I miss watching Tiger like that. But, again, we were so blessed to see him and to watch him play at his prime. And hopefully we'll find some new memories with maybe Phil with a new memory at Torrey Pines finishing off the grandstand. Wouldn't that be great?
Well, all eyes will be on him leading up to the U.S. Open next week at Torrey Pines. John, it is a gorgeous day. I hope there are some ball hitting in your future today, and I appreciate the time as always.
Yeah, Pat, thank you very much. The golfers are out here at Alpine, and it's a fantastic day. And if you're listening and you get a chance to play some golf today, please do it.
Absolutely, John. Thanks so much. John Mascari, the director of golf at Alpine Country Club, here on the Tee with Anita Marks. Yeah, I mean, that was everything we loved, admired, respected, in the case of Rocco Mediate, feared about Tiger Woods back in 2008. That was Tiger Woods at his absolute greatest. I mean, there was a time in his career, it lasted about a decade, where he wouldn't lose. He wouldn't allow himself to lose in situations like that. The greatness, the determination, the mental fortitude, and the ability, in the case of the 2008 U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, to put aside a double stress fracture in his leg and a damaged ACL to win the U.S. Open, having to go an extra round, having to go an extra hole in the extra round. I mean, it really was one of the most remarkable athletic performances that I've ever seen. So you can't help but think of Tiger Woods and that week at Torrey Pines 13 years ago as the U.S. Open returns to Torrey Pines next week when all eyes will be on Tiger's longtime rival, Phil Mickelson.
On the Tee with Anita Marks. Brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Ready to drink, ready to go on 98.7 ESPN.
As we get set for the U.S. Open next week, Palmetto Championship at Congaree Golf Club in Ridgeland, South Carolina, going on this weekend. Weren't quite able to get through round three yesterday because of a weather delay, but they're hoping to finish that up later today. Update you on that in a moment. First, though, it's time for the U.S. Open preview. And it's brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Ready to drink, ready to go. So let's take a look at some names that are among the favorites for next week's U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. As we just spoke with John Mascari about that. He gave us a couple of dark horse names that he's got his eye on. The favorite right now, the betting favorite, according to where you look, is John Rahm, who's plus 800. And then you have a trio of golfers at plus 1,200. DeChambeau, the defending champ, Rory McIlroy, who hasn't won a major since 2014, and Justin Thomas, who John Mascari just mentioned as somebody he has his eye on this week. Dustin Johnson, struggling in 2021, playing well this week in South Carolina, number one ranked player in the world, starting to get his game together, perhaps. DJ is plus 1,400. Brooks Koepka is plus 1,400. So is Xander Schauffele. So is Jordan Spieth. Colin Morikawa, a guy that Mascari liked. He mentioned him. He's at plus 2,000. John Mascari also mentioning a nice dark horse for him. Victor Hovland at plus 2,200. How about Phil Mickelson? Where's Phil Mickelson in all of this? Well, Phil Mickelson is an extremely long shot, according to the odds. Phil right now, coming off his PGA Championship victory, is plus 5,000. So if you think Phil is going to keep the magic going, carry that momentum from his PGA Championship victory into his hometown of San Diego at the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines this week, you get pretty good odds on the 51-year-old left-hander at plus 5,000. So that's the U.S. Open preview brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Canteen is a refreshing, ready-to-drink vodka soda in a can on the go, on the course, or in your own backyard. Learn more at drinkcanteen.com. Must be 21 or older. Always enjoy responsibly. So the U.S. Open, always fun to look back on U.S. Open's past and the Torrey Pines in 2008. One of the most memorable there ever was for golf fans, especially of a certain age and a certain generation. 1-800-919-3776. Pat O'Keefe talking golf until the top of the hour. I'll be with you until noon today here on 98.7 ESPN New York, sitting in for Anita on this gorgeous Sunday morning. Now, what's going on the PGA Tour this week? The Palmetto Championship, as I mentioned, at Congaree Golf Club in Ridgeland, South Carolina. Chesson Hadley is looking for his first PGA Tour victory in 7 years. Right now, he's got a 4-stroke lead over Harris English, and he's 6 up on Dustin Johnson. A weather delay late in the round on Saturday when the final two pairings were playing the 18th hole caused the stoppage. So Hadley and Johnson and English, they've got to finish 18 today and then go on to the fourth and final round. But you've got Hadley at minus 14, Harris English at minus 10, Johnson and Garrick Higgs are both at minus 8. Now, Johnson, DJ was just 2 shots back of the lead after round 2. However, in round 3 so far, Hadley is minus 3 and DJ is plus 1 through 17 holes. For Hadley, he has 4 birdies in a 5-hole stretch on the back 9 of the 3rd round that is still ongoing to get to 14 under par. A guy with a little bit of history but not a ton of recent success. On the one hand, he has missed 10 cuts in his past 12 tournaments coming into this week's Palmetto Championship at Congaree Golf Club. However, you go back to when he burst onto the scene in 2014, he was the PGA Tour Rookie of the Year, and that year was the only time that he has ever won on tour. So he has only won once, and he hasn't won a tournament in 7 years. So a huge Sunday ahead for Chesson Hadley in the final tournament before the U.S. Open next week. A good bounce back for DJ. This year, despite being the number one player in the world, he has missed the cut at both the Masters and the PGA Championship, both within the past 2 months. And coming into this week, 7 straight tournaments for Dustin Johnson without a top 10 finish. Again, right now he's sitting in a tie for 3rd place, 6 strokes off the lead. Harris English is in 2nd. Now, he's a 3-time winner on tour, so he could make things interesting for Chesson Hadley in the 4th and final round. 3-time winner on tour for English. He's 4 strokes back of the lead. His most recent victory coming this past January at the Century Tournament of Champions. So he's going to try to chase down Chesson Hadley, who is vying for his 2nd ever PGA Tour win and his 1st in 7 years. The other big news on the PGA Tour, and I mentioned this with John Mascari a couple of minutes ago, is John Rahm. Few people playing as well as John Rahm this season. He has tweeted out that he's out of quarantine and he is able to travel to San Diego for the U.S. Open next week, where, as I mentioned a minute ago, He's the betting favorite right now at plus 800 to win the tournament. I mean, it was heart-wrenching to watch him with a six-stroke lead at the Memorial Tournament last weekend. The winner's purse, by the way, for that $1.7 million. And there's Rahm with a six-stroke lead in the middle of the third round, taken off the course because of a positive COVID-19 test. Well, Rahm announced on Twitter that he posted two negative COVID-19 tests 24 hours apart, which allows him to end his quarantine in Ohio. So it's on to California to compete in the 2021 U.S. Open at Torrey Pines this week in San Diego. So Rahm among the betting favorites, and you can imagine unfinished business for him the way last week ended up. I mean, again, you talk about sporting events and golf events that hit people who aren't even golf fans. That's something everybody was talking about. What happened to that poor golfer in the middle of the third round with a six-stroke lead in the middle of a big-time tournament? So John Rahm playing extremely well this season out of quarantine. We'll see if he can carry that over to next week's U.S. Open at Torrey Pines.
On the Tee with Anita Marks. Brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Ready to drink, ready to go on 98.7 ESPN.
We bring in another regular to the show, Christina Thompson, the CEO and founder of GolfForHer.com. Christina, you got the U.S. Open around the corner. We are really into the golf season. It's a beautiful day today. How are you doing on this golf Sunday?
I'm doing great, Pat. Thanks for having me. I'm actually not in Jersey. I'm about an hour outside of the Palmetto Championship. I'm in South Carolina, Hilton Head, and the weather is not ideal golf weather right now. So I'm very jealous I'm not home, and I'm in the South. Raining and disgusting.
Well, that kind of got things off the rails yesterday. I was mentioning a minute ago, Chesson Hadley is looking for his first PGA Tour win in 7 years, if and when they can resume today after they weren't able to get through the third round. You know, I've been looking at Dustin Johnson this week, and obviously he's going to be a big name to watch at the U.S. Open next week. I know not an ideal Saturday for him, but overall it seems like it's been a nice bounce-back weekend for DJ.
Yeah, we've talked about this on the show so many times, like, where has DJ been? I mean, everyone's favoring him to win the U.S. Open, and the conversation's always been DJ. And I'm not going to lie, I was surprised that, he was playing well this week. He slipped a little bit yesterday, but hey, if he's showing that he's got his game together, and, he's always a favorite. And I'll be honest, I had my 2-year-old nephew sitting in my lap, and I said, okay, pick a player. Which player would, put your finger on a player? And he picked DJ, so I think I'm going to have to go with him to win the U.S. Open. Why not? So that's where I stand on DJ right now.
He'll be one of the favorites, clearly one of the betting favorites. He won't be the fan favorite. I think we know who that will be, especially coming off Phil Mickelson's PGA Championship victory last month, now going back to his hometown. Yeah. And again, his latest attempt to complete this career Grand Slam. How, at the age of 51, does Phil's game look to you? And can he do it finally at a U.S. Open?
I think we can all agree Phil is playing incredible golf this year. I mean, he is impressing all of us. And, just the way his demeanor's been, and he said this in interviews, I'm in the moment, I'm enjoying this, I feel good, my game is solid. He's playing Torrey Pines. I mean, this is his home, his backyard. I mean, it is the U.S. Open. We know this is the monkey on his back. This is that tournament that he wants and he needs for that career Grand Slam. So I think there's that pressure on it. But if he's going to do it, this could be the year he does it. I just get worried because he just won the PGA Championship. Like, can he do two majors in 1 year? I mean, that's an incredible season of golf for the now 51-year-old Phil. So his game is fantastic. So of course, yeah, he's a fan favorite, and I think we're all rooting for him. I mean, if I'm putting money on something, I'm always definitely putting money on Phil for the U.S. Open next week, because he has everything, the momentum going in his direction. So let's do it.
You get pretty good odds too, Christina. He's plus 5,000. So he's still a very long shot to win. As you mentioned, it will be his second major this year. Christina Thompson, the CEO and founder of GolfForHer.com, chatting with us from the Palmetto Championship down in Ridgeland, South Carolina, where weather appears to be an issue, not an issue today in the New York metropolitan area. Let me get to the LPGA Tour with you, Christina. They're in California this week, the MediHeal Championship. They just had their U.S. Open a week ago. What are some of the big storylines on the LPGA Tour?
Well, right now we have Min Lee, who is from Taiwan. She's a 26-year-old from Taiwan. She's fresh off a win from the Symetra Tour 2 weeks ago, leading the tournament right now. I mean, she, you know, had a 15-foot birdie putt on the par 5 18 yesterday to finish 4 under, and she took a 2-stroke lead yesterday afternoon. And what makes this really special is that she could make history by becoming the first player to win a Symetra Tour event 2 weeks ago, which is like the web.com, the LPGA's version of the developmental tour that the PGA has, the PGA Tour has. But, you know, she could go back-to-back wins and make history doing that, which is pretty incredible. But what makes this tournament extra special is that there's so many players right now jammed up there in the leaderboard that are all former Symetra Tour players, all looking for their first-time win. So we have players like Matilda Kastrin from Finland and Lauren Kim, who is a local. She lives about 40 minutes outside of San Francisco. She also, you know, had a win on the Symetra Tour, and is both of these ladies are 2 strokes off the lead. So we are, you know, looking at a really exciting Sunday, having, you know, a lot of first-time winners in contention to get their first tour win, many of which, like I said, came off the Symetra Tour. So this is a really special tournament. It's also a tournament that, you know, they just played the U.S. Open at the Olympic Club, the Lake Course, which is, hopefully everyone listening watched, was an incredible tournament. So this tournament, they stayed in San Francisco. They went about 10 minutes up the road to the coast and are playing this tournament. So we even have players like Lydia Ko, who's in the mix, who's won 3 times in the past in the Bay Area. So there's easily a good chance that she can, you know, come from a 4-stroke deficit right now to come back and take this tournament. Like Danielle Kang, she's another one. She's 5 under. So we just have a lot of players in the mix right now. It's setting up for some really good Sunday golf. So you guys can switch between the Palmetto and the LPGA MediHeal. I'll be watching the MediHeal. I got to support the ladies.
Absolutely. And again, you're at the Palmetto, and Dustin Johnson, 6 shots off the lead, hasn't had a ton of success in 2021, but you're there. You're our reporter on scene this weekend. You say keep an eye on DJ next week at Torrey Pines.
100%. I think he's going to sneak up on us and be like, all right, have you guys haven't seen much of me this year? Now I'm back, and he's going to play. And I also like Koepka too. I mean, you know, he's a major guy. He likes to show up at those majors and show us some good golf. So I think this is a good season for golf. Don't you think? Like, we've just had some great tournaments, some great winners. I mean, I think we can even see a first-time winner like Colin Morikawa next week.
Yeah.
I like to put a little money on him.
That has already been suggested from our earlier guests, so you guys are in line there. Christina, thanks so much. I hope they get some golf in for you on this Sunday. They finish this up, and then we will, of course, look ahead to the U.S. Open next week at Torrey Pines, but it's great chatting with you.
Great. Thanks so much for having me. Have a great weekend, or the rest of your weekend.
Yep, you too. That's Christina Thompson, the CEO and founder of GolfForHer.com. On site this weekend at the Palmetto Championship at Congaree Golf Club in Ridgeland, South Carolina, where Chesson Headley has a 4-shot lead looking for his first PGA Tour victory in 7 years. Weather wouldn't allow them to get through round 3. The final 2 pairings were actually on the 18th when the weather delay occurred yesterday. And you heard Christina say, it doesn't seem like it's cooperating right now, so they're hoping to finish the 3rd round and get the 4th round in. Headley trying to hold off Dustin Johnson, among others. Johnson is 6 shots back. Harris English is in 2nd place at 4 shots back. But the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines is going to be fun. There are a ton of storylines, and I'll go back to my point that I began the hour with. In 2021, as we look ahead to the U.S. Open, the 2 names that I think of are Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods. And that's just incredible. The staying power and the star power of both of those great, great golfers after all these years. Now, unfortunately, they're top of mind for me for different reasons. Phil Mickelson is coming off a PGA Championship victory. He's always interesting to talk about around the U.S. Open because he's never won it. He has been a runner-up 6 times. It's the only major he hasn't won. coming off that PGA Championship at the age of 51. It would be one of the most incredible stories if he were to win a second major this year and complete that career Grand Slam. Tiger Woods already has the career Grand Slam, a couple times over, in fact. Unfortunately, he won't be a part of things this week as he continues to recover from his major leg surgery. But the last time that this event was at Torrey Pines, 13 years ago, 2008, Tiger Woods, Rocco Mediate, Tiger injured, hobbled, broken bones in his leg, getting through the playoff round, getting through the playoff hole, and capturing the 2008 U.S. Open. It was one of the most incredible athletic performances I have ever seen.
On the Tee with Anita Marks. Brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Ready to drink, ready to go on 98.7 ESPN.